You're listening to Channel Radio. It's 1 o'clock. Channel Radio.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker Show here on Channel Radio in association with Biz Radio. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and she's back, the stonkingly gorgeous and very heavily tanned, Jill Serkin.
Well, it was always factor 50, you know, Paul Andrews.
Was it? That's it didn't right. work then.
One doesn't want to look like a leather handbag, does it, at my ripe old age?
I'm saying nothing.
Yeah, factor 50 and a little trilby hat now
is
and then.
Is that right?
Well, it okay. might have been a Panama, I'm not
sure.
Well,
still got colour, haven't you?
Yes, I'm a woman of colour now, apparently.
Yeah absolutely. Yeah. Did you have a nice time?
I had a lovely time. It was really nice. It was because, you know, many of us have not been able to travel for various reasons, and reasons that won't be mentioned, capital
good.
C. So, yeah, it was good. British Airways, we weren't delayed. We weren't cancelled. I took my mum, Ruth, who's 91.
Well, that's why. They wouldn't dare. They wouldn't dare cancel her, not with Ruth there.
But I booked assisted boarding for her because she's a bit wobbly, has a bit of vertigo. And it didn't materialise at Gatwick. So I had to run around finding someone. And eventually, they once I found someone, they put her in a little wheelchair. And she said, I'm not going in a wheelchair. And I said, yes, you are. And we got her on the plane. That was great. And then the other end in Ibiza, again, they forgot the assisted exiting. So we had to sort of manhandle her off.
It's atrocious, isn't it? Some friends of mine.
How difficult is it?
Well, some friends of mine, they've... one of the chaps is disabled permanently in a wheelchair. So he books in advance and tells the airline he's in a wheelchair and all the rest of it. He went somewhere, I can't remember where, somewhere in Europe, and they forgot him. They left him on the plane. He was on there for an hour after the plane.
Goodness.
And it wasn't until the cleaners came on to clean the plane up.
And he wasn't dusting. And
yeah, he's going, is someone going to get me off this damn plane? He'd been, you know, been ringing, you know what it's like.
Yeah,
rang the desk there and nobody answers the phone and everything. Left him for an hour on
Imagine
the plane.
Imagine if he needed the loo or something as well. I'm sure he did.
Yeah.
In fact, that's in the news, isn't it? Because there was a, I think it was a man that got left similarly to your friend's colleague or friend, and he got left on for about 2 hours on a plane. And I think Frank Gardner was just on the Jeremy Vine show, another rather good show, not as good as ours, of course. He follows me. I don't know why. I'm always really rude about him.
That's probably why he follows you.
I call him Jeremy Wine.
Yeah, yeah. So does everyone else.
And not in a good way, you know, not in a wine way.
Yeah.
But he's got Frank Gardner on, who's the journalist who's in a wheelchair. Yeah. And he's talking about how the difficulties of narrow doorways, pavements, cobbled areas. But we spent, I think it was about £110 for PCR tests privately and COVID recovery certificates. I was so lucky to get COVID, otherwise I couldn't have gone.
Right.
So I got COVID in April. And so we spent all this money, one for mum, one for Gavin, one for myself, and had it all ready as paper, printed it off because I don't want the app. And they didn't bother looking at it at all, but they made us queue in Ibiza for 20 minutes because you are no longer in the EU.
Yeah.
And I said, please don't stamp my passport because I've got a house in Moriah that I haven't been for 2 years and I'd quite like to go. No, you are no longer, we must stamp. And that was their whole thing. It was just that we'd left the EU. They weren't worried about COVID.
The stamp doesn't matter for Moriah.
Why?
Well, because the stamp is to prove that you haven't stayed there longer than 30 days.
Yeah, but they didn't stamp us on the way out.
Oh, you see, well, that's where you're supposed to get it.
I know.
It's on the way out.
Well, we didn't get it on the way out. They didn't bother. And then we got on the plane and realised, so at Gatwick, we asked the lovely man, he was very sweet, whether he could stamp it to prove that we'd entered England. And he said he couldn't. He said, I'm really sorry. So all we can do is just keep our boarding passes.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know how that's going to go down. We had to change bank accounts. So you know my electric in Moriah had been off last October.
Yeah.
And it's all because of Brexit, apparently. And this will make you laugh. We've got Simon Pollard in the... Mm-hmm. I mean, really, he's into gardening and walking and flowers and ponds.
Yeah.
But this will make you laugh, Simon. So suddenly, our electric was off because we couldn't pay our bill because we couldn't access our Spanish Sabadell account online.
Mm.
Why couldn't we access it? Because they changed our personal PIN number. Why did they change our personal PIN number, you might ask?
Mm.
Because of Brexit. So they just did what they wanted. This is typical Spain. So Gavin, my lovely new husband, spent many hours on the phone. I could hear him screaming at them, do not put me on hold. You did this last week. Don't put me on hold again. Mm. He's going mad. Didn't get anywhere by emails. And they said, oh, yes, you will have access. Never happened. So in Ibiza, we went to the bank and we saw a lovely lady called Isabel. But the bank's open at 9:15. You have to get there really early, otherwise there's a long, long queue. So we got there at 9:00. 9:25, still not open. And there's a couple of Spanish men muttering outside. And we're standing there saying, and then somebody sort of walks in, doesn't say hello, just opens up and walks in nonchalantly about 9:30. And then somebody else comes in and they still don't open. And then we eventually got in and lovely Isabel was really, really nice. And I said to her, do you know my son, you know, Ibiza Fitness Food? And she'd done his mortgage for him.
Oh, right,
and she said, oh, yes, Joshua, I know him very well. And she's arranged a new bank account for us, so she was good.
Right.
She said, oh, you are paying far too much, you know, here is a better one. But how many bits of paper did we have to sign?
Yeah.
It was about 8 pieces of paper each. Sign here, sign here, sign here. And I said, have you never heard of sort of online digital? You know, no, we must do on paper. So,
yep. It's funny how the Spanish banks are all full of Russians, isn't it? That was a Russian accent you were doing, wasn't it?
No. Paella.
They've made a complete mess of this, and a lot of it's deliberate or, you know, just...
Yeah, but how can they change somebody's PIN you can't access your own account?
Two things about Spain recently. Did you see 3 members of the government and a chief executive of a pharmaceutical company all got caught with fake vax passes?
Really?
They'd all bought their vax passes and hadn't actually been vaccinated.
Wow, and why hadn't they?
Well, exactly. And everybody's going, well, what happened there then? So
who were these dignitaries?
It was two politicians from the government and a chief executive of a Spanish pharmaceutical company.
If anybody listening can send me the link to that little story, I'd be very, very interested because...
It was on Twitter. Search for it on Twitter. I'll see if I can find it.
Do you know how many... have you seen my timeline lately on vaccine?
Yeah, but do you know how to search? Just search for Spanish... naughty Spanish people or something.
Yeah.
you never guess what you get for that.
Well, I was a bit disheartened to get back, Simon and Paul. And it's lovely to be back. It's lovely to see your little cherub face.
Yeah.
And I have missed the listeners and all the banter. And it is really nice to be back, and it was very good to have a proper holiday and just chill after the year and a half I've had of AstraZeneca damage. It was great. But when I got back, somebody sent me something, which is the NHS are now advertising for a director of vaccine passports with a salary of 71,000.
Yeah, I saw that.
And they have to apply by the 15th of this month. And I was quite shocked to see that and a little bit terrified. What do you think?
Yeah, they're still up to their shenanigans, aren't they?
Simon's just done a shocked face as well.
I was just thinking of applying.
That was 71 grand.
Yeah.
Plus perks, no doubt.
I just wanted to come back to the stamping business on passports.
Mm.
There's two things. They've done it deliberately. I mean,
they're punishing us, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah, it's deliberate. It's deliberately annoying. And I've heard quite a few people that are Brits that are actually resident in either France or Spain.
Yeah.
And they've had enormous rows at border control who want to stamp their passport. And they go, but no, I'm resident in France. I don't need a stamp because I am coming back within 30 days because I live here.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And they go, yeah, no, but you've got to have a stamp because you're British. And he's going, no, but I'm a resident of France. Mm. I reside here. I live here. I pay my taxes here. I work here. And they go, yeah, no, but you still need a pass. And then when they come back, they go, you can't come back because you haven't been out of the country for 30 days.
And this is what makes it awful. It's like the whole travel thing. I heard today that I think it was 125 British Airways flights cancelled, loads of Wizz Air and EasyJet. People stranded, people have to get back to work and school and stuff. It is a shambles. And we know that they let staff go. We know a lot of it is staff shortages.
I mean, the airline thing was nothing to do with Brexit because the Schiphol was the worst.
But why did they... Schiphol.
Yeah.
Say it Dutch way. Schiphol.
Yeah.
But why, when they had furlough, did they let them go?
Who knows? But it was a across the world kind of thing because America's been even worse. For some reason, they just sacked the staff. Nobody knows why. They didn't, they furloughed some people, but they sacked others.
And of course, it takes months to train.
And of course, they also sacked, including pilots, people that haven't been vaccinated.
I know.
Yeah,
I know.
And that was a lot of people a lot of the air crew got. Kicked off because they weren't vaccinated.
Well, I was talking to a pilot in the US who has been badly damaged by the vaccine, and you know, he says a lot of his pilot colleagues are getting migraines and all sorts of clotty things. So, you know, I'd rather probably fly with an unvaccinated pilot, to be honest.
Yeah, but the problem was caused by them getting rid of the staff and then not being able to recruit because nobody can recruit anybody anymore.
Yeah, and also, like I said, it takes training. You can't just put somebody on a flight and expect them to do it. Iberia...
Yeah, it goes.
P&O tried it, didn't they?
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
I like what you did there.
It's becoming a bit of a trend.
How are they getting on, P&O? Because I've been away.
Well, they finally allowed them to sail some ferries across, which is why the queuing stopped, because the ferries are all back in operation now.
Can we just go back to vaccine passports as well? Because my lovely youngest son, Che, and Mimi, they were at a Milan wedding, because Mimi's half Italian. So they went to this amazing
Milan's in Spain.
Milan in Italy.
Oh, right.
And God, the food, the pictures of the food I had, Paul Andrews, the pasta. Oh, I mean, these weddings, these Italian weddings are delicious. But they've just gone from Italy to Moriah, to our house, because we haven't been there. So he's got to do all the gardening and paint the walls and all sorts. He's got lots of whole list of jobs. And going from Italy to Spain, are you ready? Hang on to your seats. They didn't stamp his passport. So the way to get in and get bypassed is to go from another European country, not from the UK.
In the early days...
It's a shambles.
In the early days of the vaccine passport scheme for travelling, where some countries had it and some countries didn't, France being the worst in terms of the most severe, what people were doing was flying to Austria and then flying from Austria into France because they didn't check coming in from Austria.
Yeah.
The whole thing's a fiasco. It's a fiasco.
I am extremely concerned. I would be feeling bullish if it wasn't for this advert for a vaccine passport director.
Well, I
don't understand it.
Well, the second big issue as far as travel is concerned will arise in September when the EU Institute EES, which is the entry and exit system, using biometric passports and facial recognition, which is fine at an airport when each of you walk up to the desk with your passport and grin.
Yeah,
exactly. It doesn't work on a roll-on, roll-off ferry or a train when there's four of you in the car, because up until now, what you do is you arrive at the passport booth and you just hand them the four passports and somebody takes a perfunctory look inside the car and gives you the passports back. Now you've all got to get out of the car and stare into a facial recognition system.
Oh, so there's going to be queues for
that. So it's going to be mayhem.
Yeah, it is mad. Simon, do you want to say anything? I can see you champing.
He's just flabbergasted.
I was just thinking about, do you remember Esther Ranson and That's Life?
Yeah.
Yeah, back in the day.
Yeah, I used to love it.
I was about sort of like 4 foot tall.
Come close to the microphone, darling.
Come close. I told you you'd have to remind me.
I know, you keep skidding off on those wheels on that chair.
Just checking to see that you actually were paying attention earlier. So you passed the test that time. So anyway, Esther Ranson, back there was That's Life, and there this girl who came on, and she said she tried to open up a post office savings account, back in the time when £10 was a lot of money. And they'd asked her for her identification so that, you know, they'd know who she was. And she looked in the glass and it reflected her image and she said, yeah, that's me. So she knew who she was because she could see it in the mirror.
She knew who she was.
It sounds to me like technology hasn't moved on that far.
Yeah, it hasn't. And now it's become a weapon. It's been weaponized, and you're going to have so many problems when there's failures of bits and pieces of technology, and you can't go anywhere because they've not manned it any longer. They've automated all the gates, and when the gates stop working, there's going to be a massive queue there, and everybody's going to go, don't know what to do.
Yeah, that's it's the other thing about checking in luggage.
It's like I had brunch in a in a village cafe a week or so ago, and I walked in. And, you know, it's a very popular little cafe thing. Sat down, I ordered my all-day fry-up, and I ate it, and I went to pay. And they said, oh, we haven't got a cash machine working. We haven't got a credit machine working. I went, well, I haven't got any cash. I haven't even got a wallet. All I've got is my phone. And they went, oh, it's not working. I went, well, I can't pay you. I haven't got any money. And I said, shouldn't you have put a sign up before, you know?
Mm. Or told you as you went into order.
Or, you know, when I went to order, just say, oh, by the way, we can only accept cash. Mm. Oh, yeah, I suppose.
So what did you do?
I said, I've got no money to pay. What would you like me to do? I said, I'll come back at another time and pay you.
Yeah, that's what we did the other day with fish and chips.
And they went, oh, okay then. I said, do you want to take some identification from me or anything? No, it's all right.
It's not really their business, is it?
Yeah, no, okay.
I'm getting the feeling it's not the owner of the business.
I'm sure, actually, I know a gentleman who would turn around and go, well, that's all about systems and processes, isn't it? Or the lack of systems and processes. They should have got a system in place to manage that.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
They knew what to do, so the employees knew what to do. That should be in their appraisal. Come on, sort it out.
I'm talking to a lot of people who are really asking us to keep using cash. A lot of businesses are saying, please keep using cash.
It's like a local petrol station a few years ago. To be fair, they did have a sign up that said their card machine wasn't working, but people were still getting caught out by it. They were queuing up. Anyway, I'm in the queue behind two people who've gone, I haven't got any money. And the guy's going, well, we'll impound your car. You know, they were getting right stroppy. He's going, but I just want to pay by credit card. But my credit card machine's not working. We've told you that. So I said, excuse me. I said, why don't you use the manual machine for processing a credit card? What? I mean, if you look in the cupboard, you'll have one of those. Do you remember the old swiper machines that you used to get?
Yes.
I said, you will have one of those because it's a requirement to have one of those as a backup. Oh. So he opened the cupboard, and there it was, sat there with a pile of forms. I went, there you go, you can take credit cards now.
I said, I hope the set of instructions was next to it so he knew how to set it up and swipe.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, without crushing the card.
That's it.
Yeah.
But my wife was saying the other day, they're shutting Lloyds in Dover. I mean, I think it's going to be very long before we haven't got back.
It's crazy.
No, they shut NatWest in Faversham has just closed as well.
Yeah, we had to go to the bank. I can't remember. Oh, we needed cash, actually. I was paying paying a demolition man cash because, you know.
Because you do. Yeah.
Off the record. It was ridiculous. My gardener, actually, in Moreira in Spain, wanted 21% VAT. Is that right? 21%?
Don't know.
Seems a bit barking.
It's only 1% more than here.
What is our VAT?
20%.
Is it now?
Yeah.
That's been for a long time.
See, I never look. I never look anymore. It's awful. And that's all down to paying by phone all the time. You don't actually look at what you're spending anymore, which is bad, I know. But I'll tell you what I did notice in Spain, in Ibiza. We did a shop in Lidl and we got quite a lot of stuff, ice creams, you know, organic carver and all sorts of food and stuff. And it was about £100. It was really cheap compared with if we'd have bought it a little in England. So that was quite a nice thing to do. I was going to ask you who might our sponsor be?
Yeah, should we start the show? It's only 20 past.
Yeah, who might our sponsor be?
The Business Bunker Show is pleased to partner with DG East, independent new and used vehicle suppliers and services, supplying car and light commercial vehicles, utilising a majority of the UK-based leasing operator services. You can find out all about them by going to their website, which is www.dgeast.co.uk. And a huge thank you to them for supporting the Business Bunker Show.
And I was going to say also the cost of petrol. What is it, 100 and something at the moment? It's the highest it's ever been, I think.
It all depends where you go. It's roughly, on average, about 179.
Say it roughly.
About 179, roughly.
About, no, it's about roughly.
Yeah, but I'm going to tell you the worst bit. Amanda went out in to work over the bank holiday, and a lot of the petrol stations that we normally use were closed. And there's a petrol station opposite Headcorn Railway Station, and she pulled in there. She opened the petrol cap, and luckily she looked up before she put any petrol in her car. It was 198p.
Ouch.
Goodness. So was that an independent? Or
yeah.
So they can just charge whatever they want?
Yeah, so she put it straight back and drove out.
So she had to put some oil in there or something?
Yeah,
well, sunflower oil or something to get to work.
But is it qualified or not? I don't know. Driving around, I mean, I've got a petrol car and the price seems to sort of like vary from £1.60-something to £1.70,
£1.98. Yeah.
Diesel seems to be much of a muchness everywhere.
Yeah.
Why is it diesel can be the same and petrol, let's just put up what we want?
Because isn't it because diesel is used for industry with all, I mean, so many lorries on the road. I can't believe how much freight is on the road. Do you notice?
Yeah, but the pricing is up to the individual chains to do.
Yeah.
And there's two things about petrol and diesel, whichever fuel you're using, that drive you nuts. Everybody's whining about the profits that oil companies are making. Because the price is so high. But they completely ignore the fact that the government is making tons of money because 90p of the £1.78 you're paying is tax.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which, 70% of everything you put in your petrol or diesel tank goes in tax and duty.
Well, you're probably paying for the national debt that we got into.
Exactly.
And COVID. So swings and roundabouts.
Well, we always said when they were bandying all that furlough around, who's going to pay for it? Yeah. It was always going to be us, wasn't it?
Absolutely.
Right. Anyway, we got to move on.
Shall we?
Yeah.
Should we actually do some work?
We could actually do some work. You could. I'll tell you what, you could read one tweet and then I'm going to go for cheesy tunage.
Do you know what I'd be doing if I was back in Ibiza now?
Oh,
probably be having, you know, sitting on the beach, a little barefoot, have a little swim, then come back, maybe have a little nibble of some olives or something.
Well, you're here now and you've got to work, so do some work.
It's very nippy, isn't it? I had to have my Welsh wool blanket on my bed over my duvet when I got home.
I've got my Harris Tweed jacket here.
I can tell. Yeah. Harris Tweed is very good, actually, for climates, which is probably why the Scots have it, because it can actually be cool or warm, yeah?
It is.
Because it breathes.
And it has to actually be woven in a crofter's cottage on the Isle of Harris.
Yeah. Amazing. I didn't do Harris. I've been to the Isle of Skye, which was absolutely lovely. Very nice, in my wagon.
Are we off task again?
We could start the show at some point, but it's almost finished now.
Well, I can see I've got a little email here from Canterbury, or about Canterbury, and it makes my blood boil, Paul Andrews.
I know.
And that's why you've put it number one on my list, just to bring me back to home. So Canterbury's soon-to-be-axed street market. There's a lovely man there I buy my flowers from, Simon. Beautiful man, really lovely stuff. He's got plants and things. Like £3, you know, for something. And I never know the names. Pelargoniums and things. So the Canterbury Council, in their wisdom, decided that they'll axe the street market that we all love. And they're planning to replace it by a number of street trader stalls dotted around the city at various locations, which is hopeless for the visitor because it means you've got to go from here to there and you're paying your parking, of course. Mm. We need to tweet Ben Fitter Harding.
Won't bother.
Rather than be centred in one spot, traders are set to be dispersed and granted pitches in four areas, stretching from St Dunstan's and Station Road West up to Guildhall Street and the top end of the High Street. So if you're elderly, you go and get your apples from one, then you've got to tramp up to Guildhall to get your flowers, then you've got to tramp somewhere else to get a jumper and lug it all. It's batty.
Stupid.
Do you know what they're doing where I live? You know Tankerton, there's Long Rock, Simon, and it's famous for just wild on the coast, and it's a very popular dog walking place. So because of all the developers that are building over the Thanet Way, they have to get their backhander, they have given they've said that they will sponsor the bird protection thing because we get the Brent geese in the winter. So they are now, these developers are going to pay for all the dog walking paths to be closed so we can no longer walk on this path, and they don't disturb the birds, this path, it's miles away, and they're going to build bridges and ditches and all sorts just to appease, I don't know, conservation, I guess. But that place has been used for donkey's years and the birds have all survived. We don't disturb the nesting birds in winter, But it's now they're saying that dogs have got to be on a certain lead. Not, you know, it's just awful.
It's one of those where you kind of feel if it ain't broke, why are you fixing it?
It's been beautiful. Exactly. It's an area of absolute beauty. You'll have to meet me down there and see. And, you know, we've all complained to the council, but we know that they'll just go ahead and do it. They're just going to do it.
By the time it's public, the decision's been made anyway.
Yeah.
So, you know, it is what it is.
They're going to destroy a really beautiful area. So I'm not very happy, and I'll take a picture of this and tweet them.
All right. I don't know what's going on here. Okay. We're going to do some cheesy tunage.
Okay.
You're going to get this straight away.
I might not. I've got my Ibiza brain.
Is it Mariah?
No.
Mariah Carey.
It is for you, though, Simon.
So it'll be a... Walk on the Wild Side.
She named
Lou Reed.
She named that tune in one.
Good
She'll
one.
Be dancing in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, shape.
Holly came from Miami, FLA. Hitchhiked her way across USA. Plucked her eyebrows on the way, shaved her legs, and then he was a she. She says, hey babe, take a walk on the wild side. Said, hey honey, take a walk on the wild side. Candy came from out on the island. In the back room, she was everybody's darling. But she never lost her head, even when she was given head. She says, hey babe, take a walk on the wild side. Said, hey babe, take a walk on the wild side. And the colored girls go do 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 do. Little Joe never once gave it away. Everybody had to pay and pay. A hustle here and a hustle there. New York City is the place where they said, hey babe, take a walk on the wild side. I said, hey Joe, take a walk on the wild side. Sugar Plum Fairy came and hit the streets, looking for soul food and a place to eat. Went to the Apollo, you should have seen him go, go, go. They said, hey sugar, take a walk on the wild side. I said, hey babe, take a walk on the wild side. All right. Ha. Jackie is just speeding away. Thought she was Jim Dean for a day. Then I guess she had to crash. Valium would have helped that fashion. Said, hey babe, take a walk on the wild side. I said, hey honey, take a walk on the wild side. And the colored girls say, do 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 do.
Ta Alice Independent Financial Advisors can help you invest, organise your pensions, and even get you the best possible life insurance, mortgage, or equity release deal. Check out talisifa.com. Grow your business with Kent's Best Business Events. Visit bestbusinessevents.co.uk.
Become part of our community to build your social media habits with Workouts. Increase your brand's presence and engagement. Go to wedosocialmedia.co.uk to register for 2 free social media workouts every Wednesday. 10:30 a.m. Facebook and 11:30 a.m. LinkedIn.
Loch Associates Group. Let us look after all your people needs so you can focus on growing your business. No long-term tie-ins, just responsive, commercially-minded support. Find us at lochassociates.co.uk.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
This is Channel 2.
Welcome back. Lou Reed, Walk on the Wild Side.
That,
hold on. Why aren't you working?
I don't know. You haven't turned
me up. That's better. I turned the wrong way.
It's fabulous tunage, that. A real favourite of mine, actually.
Yeah.
And I even like the saxophone at the end, the whole fade out thing.
Isn't it? Yeah.
It is really, really good.
And that was totally in honour of our next guest.
Yes.
Simon Pollard. It's a pleasure to have Simon back on the show. Simon is a gardener, author. I was going to say naturist.
You've got to be careful.
No,
get the verbs right.
Yeah,
depends on what beach you're on, of course.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Simon does lots of things and has written some fantastic books all about gardens and gardening and nature and stuff. But you're now looking at Awakening Walks, hence Walk on the Wild Side. So tell us a little bit about Awakening Walks, Simon.
Well, I suppose the first and most interesting thing about Awakening Walks is that they're not Awakening Walks anymore.
All right.
Hey, this is just a test to see if Paul's keeping up.
All right.
We've actually kind of slightly left, moved everything slightly around to name them after the book. The book was called The View Over the Wall.
Yep.
And as kind of the walks and, or the experiences, we'd like to join them up a little bit. People have strange ideas about word walks. Kind of tie in, and everything that's in the book kind of features in on the walks and on the experiences. So they're now the View Over the Wall experience.
Right, okay.
And because it kind of, then I can promote lots of things at the same time.
Time, yes.
The same phrase.
Top branding.
And hopefully then reduce the amount of effort that I need to do with everything and just do it once.
Right.
Systems and processes, that came up earlier.
Right.
But so yeah, View Over the Wall experience. Now, what are they? Yeah. Simon talks a bit sometimes. Anyway, what are they? They are, we take people out of the countryside, and in a nutshell, we give them the tools to find a little bit of peace and a little bit of calm within themselves, which in the current day and age, I think, is a really, really important tool.
Mm.
Because we have created, I think we've created a mad place for us to live in and to try and survive in, which is so far and away from the world that we actually evolved to live in, that I think that's possibly the root cause of many, many of the problems we have.
Mm.
So they're about giving people those tools. And one of the first things we actually do when people come out, we actually say to them, we'd like you, if you're brave enough, if you have enough strength about you, turn your phone off.
Right.
And the looks of pure fear that you see in people's face when you ask them to turn their phone off is quite staggering. But we do say that if you really can't manage that, then what we'd like you to do is put it on silent.
Yeah.
Flight mode's good, you might want to take a photo.
Mm.
And you see people get, blimey, crikey. Mm. Anyway, we then tell them what they're going to do. We should go out and we tell them that we're going to do some experiences about the senses, how we use the senses, how they work, how they're all connected to our mind, and some of the science that's behind that, because science is actually now catching up with spirituality. Mm. And I put it that way around intentionally, because everything that we do involves electricity. there are little electrical signals that go all the way around our body. You know, if you put your hand into onto a flame, very quickly your nerves pick up that, they send a signal that goes up to your brain. Your brain processes that, sends a signal back down saying, take your hand out very quickly. And we do it. Now, that's electrical signals. The whole world is full of electrical signals. The centre of our planet is electromagnetism. The solar system is electromagnetism. Mm-hmm. And that's moving around, doing its own thing all the time. And if you remember when you were at school and they'd hold up a sheet of cardboard with iron filings on it, and they'd drag a magnet around.
Yeah.
Well, if you think about it, electromagnetism working in a very, very similar way, and that has an effect on how we operate and how we think. There are some days when you wake up feeling absolutely positively miserable for nothing that you can, for no reason that you can understand. Other days where you wake up feeling absolutely fantastic for no reason that you can understand. And it's because all of this stuff's going on, and the science is starting to prove that. We are 70% water, yeah? And we know what the moon does to the sea, because we can see it. Now,
so the waxing and waning.
So the waxing and the waning and the moving, and the fact we've got a 28-day lunar cycle.
And lunatics.
And lunatics is used as a phrase, a derogatory phrase.
I feel totally
it's actually a term that should be used for celebration. People that are actually in tune with their natural cycles. And if we use those, they can be to our benefit.
Because we know that when women live together, their menstruation all clicks around the same time when they're living in a house together, for example, with the moon.
But it's all a 28-day cycle, which is one of those things I think is loony. Yeah, we've got a natural 28-day cycle, and that works. There's 13 of those in a year. So what do? We have 12 months. And it doesn't quite work. So some of them are 30, and some of them are 31, and then there's one that's 28. But that doesn't work either, because every 4 years we have to chuck another day in to make it all work. So.
And then they had to write a rhyme about it so we can all remember 30 days, half September.
But thankfully they've also got diaries, because I can't remember the rhyme. So
April, June and November, all the rest have 31, say February.
Which has 28 or in, 29 occasionally.
In a leap year, yeah.
Indeed. Anyway, now children, back to task. We've wandered a little bit. Yeah. So we take people out, we talk about these different connections, and we just get people to think about the world a little bit differently. Think about their place in it a little bit differently. And at the end of all these activities, we sit down and do what's called the 10-minute challenge.
Right.
And again, when we tell people what we're going to do at the end of it, it's like 10 minutes on your own in the countryside without the aid of a smartphone. And again, you can see fear. How am I going to manage that? But by the time that we've been out and we've looked at, you know, we've touched trees. You don't have to hug them. You can. I do. Lots. And we've actually thought about how our eyes work and how they're still better than any optical device we can create, how our ears work, how our sense of smell works. And then usually we go back to a venue to do the taste bit, because unless it's kind of like blackberries and cherries, eating can be a little bit hazardous unless you're a brilliant forager, and I'm an okay forager, but I'm not the best one.
I've been eating dandelion leaves lately.
Yeah, bramble tea's good.
Yeah. Funny enough, it's funny to say that, I saw him pop up the other day on Twitter. The forager, the chap that you
Basher.
Had on.
Yeah, John Harrison. David Harrison.
Yeah, that's him. Yeah.
Basher, he's brilliant. I think I put you in touch with him when you were last on the show, or maybe the time before. He's great.
Well done. Anyway, back to task. So we do the 10-minute challenge, and we sit people down, and we actually just get them to stop. Now, that's really cool, because by the time they've been on our experience, they're actually capable of achieving that. I mean, I'd like it to be longer, but 10 minutes is okay. But not only do they stop and they sit and become calm, it's long enough for wildlife to start thinking you're not a threat.
Yeah.
And we've had people go, well, there was kestrels just above me, and there were foxes just a brick away, and I've had squirrels running through the trees next to me and birds singing really, really close. And you get people, wow. We had one gentleman, it's like being on the set of Avatar. It was amazing, which is really, really cool. But then when you get to the end and you go back to the venue, whatever, and you sit down and you give people the evaluation sheet, and they say, what's the best thing? And they go, 10 minutes was absolutely unbelievable. And to take people who look at what they're about to do, I mean, God knows how to get there in the first place, and are just scared of what's coming at them. And by the end of it, they just go, I've had the most amazing experience I've ever had, is one of the most powerful things you can possibly experience in this life. It's an absolutely fantastic experience for the people who come, but on a personal level, to see people make that change is also absolutely astounding, and it never goes away, you know? And we even had a fella who came out last November, a And he got on Instagram about a month ago, and he's still using this stuff that he learned on that day and posting about it. And making that kind of a change to help people is it's so rewarding, powerfully rewarding, and worth every moment.
Absolutely.
It's precious.
So how many of these walks have you done, or how many of these experiences have you done so far?
We try and get out. We've got four or five venues we've been using. We try to get out once every season,
right,
as an organised one. But we're also more than happy to take people out for private events, for businesses, obviously with the corporate social, whatever they call it these days.
Social responsibility.
Responsibility. We'll do those. We'll organise them bespoke.
Hmm.
And it would be fantastic to do more.
Yeah, absolutely. So what kind of venues are you using? Where are you actually going to do these things?
Mostly we're going to places where either there's a really cool venue that I know that works, or it's a really cool location to go to that works. So, I mean, one of the most amazing ones is I got asked, actually just before the lockdown, to go and do some activities at Dove Church.
Right.
At Great Buckland, which is Gravesend Way.
Yeah.
Dove Church is an amazingly reconstructed building which looks absolutely stunning, and it's nestled in wooded valleys, and there's just an energy and a vibe and something amazing about the place. So one of our activities is there. That one's absolutely fantastic. We also, in my own neck of the woods at Northbourne, we've got a walk which we've based from a pub called the Hare and Hounds. And we've actually got one of those coming up, which I'm sure we'll get to in a minute. Mm. But that takes us through the Kent Coalfield, through the old Foulmead estuary. The sea actually used to come in land and go past the front door of my house. I'm glad it doesn't now. Mm. So we should walk through the Foulmead estuary. And there's also some old estate lands, which are partly used now by market gardens. And that's a pretty cool walk. We go to there. There's one over the back of Ashford. We've been working with Lisa Fraser at Fraser's Edgerton, which is another great venue, West Beer Lake at Canterbury.
What is it? A restaurant or?
The Fraser's Edgerton is a restaurant, hotel, venue. And so Lisa does various different bits and pieces. And she actually got in touch in the last year and said, could you come and run some of your events from my place? And I said, yeah.
Lovely.
Yeah,
like
it.
Else?
You haven't been to Bleam Woods then? Bumped into the wild bison?
No, not recently.
Bleam Woods are lovely, actually. It's a really nice walk.
Yeah. It is. I mean, I used to go there looking for the Heath Fritillary butterflies.
Right, yeah.
Which I think were its flagship species before they brought the bison in, probably. I mean, the Heath Fritillary is still doing okay. Because they're a pretty cool and amazing butterfly, and you only get those where you get them. Locally abundant is the phrase.
Right, yeah.
I'm always shocked when I see people planting plastic grass, no, not planting, but laying plastic grass. And I just think, what is that? The developers are building houses with plastic lawns. The birds can't even put their beaks in it. You know, it's just awful. What mentality is that people are doing that? They can't be bothered to mow a lawn?
Yeah, I think...
Well, just allow it to grow then, if you can't be bothered to mow it.
You've been to my garden then.
Well, it's yours. You haven't got plastic though, have you?
No, I've got very long grass.
Yeah, but that's nice.
It's called meadow.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's what the first thing I noticed when I got back from Ibiza, the difference when we got back in birdsong and green. It was so green. And we've got to love that about the UK. As much as we love the sun and sea and sand, to get the greenness...
It's the rain what does it.
Oh, yeah. To get the greenness and see the wild. I mean, I feed birds at the moment a lot, and God, they get through it, don't they?
They certainly do.
It's crazy.
Mm. I think we need to celebrate. Well, I mean, people always say, the English, all they do is talk about the weather. But that's because we get the different kinds.
Yeah. Mm.
And
yeah.
I think it's important to actually, you know, it's cold. Yeah, I'll put a coat on. But it's still some amazing days in the winter. Mm. You go out when it's crisp and it's, dry. It's quite good. But and celebrate that.
Hmm.
And celebrate in the spring when you can start to feel a little bit of heat in the air.
Yeah.
And that's fantastic. And the fact that the birds are starting to sing because they've obviously got one thing on their mind. And you know, the leaves are starting to come through. I mean, if you start in the winter, you look at February and blackthorn is starting to flower.
Yeah.
You know, you get the white along the side of the roads. Blackthorn flowers and then the leaves grow. And then you wait a little bit longer, and the hawthorn does it the other way around. It grows its leaves first, and then we get the May blossom, which is hawthorn. And it seems to know exactly when it's May. But then if you also look, you get things like hellebores start flowering in February, and you start looking for your snowdrops, and you start looking for wood anemones, which will start coating the floor of the woodlands. And then the bluebells will come along.
Yep.
And then if your sense of smell is working, you'll realise that they're starting to fill up with garlic. Wild garlic is fantastic.
I love wild garlic.
Yeah. Mm. We did a...
Ransoms.
We did a photo shoot for the Kent AOMB people in... Yeah, it was in middle of May. We went to Old Park Woods in Dover, which is where we actually did the first ever experience. And there was an absolute massive white carpet of wild garlic.
And the scent.
The scent was unbelievable. Yeah. The view was unbelievable. And I completely altered the route that we were going to do because I thought we just have to come up here and experience this. If you're talking about sensory activities, you know, there's a smell there and it's garlic. And it's amazing because it's funny. Sense is the one sense that we probably have the least amount of regard for. But by the same token, it's the one that will generate memories or bring back memories like no others will.
Mm.
I mean, the one I always talk about, I mean, I do not like coffee. I'm not a coffee drinker. I don't like the smell of the stuff. It's horrendous. You know, my wife will say, don't kiss me. It's first thing in the morning. I'll say, I'll kiss you when you've had coffee. But when I smell coffee, when it's the proper ground stuff, it takes me back to when I was kind of like knee-high in Canterbury at my grandmother's. And there was a coffee shop near the Roman Painted Road. And they still have wooden caskets in the windows, and you go in and you slit your coffee and they grind
it,
and it would go into a bag. You know, that sense of smell takes me straight there.
Yeah.
We only think about smell now when somebody's farted or there's a smell or an aroma or whatever else. Yeah. But that's amazing as well, because smell is the one sense that actually cuts off.
Mm.
It stops. About 2 minutes of any smell and you stop smelling it. You know, but smells don't go away that quick. Diffusion is really, really slow. Yeah, you stop smelling it. It's the same with perfume as well, or aftershave or whatever.
Mm.
You put it on in the morning, you smell it when you put it on, oh, that's lovely.
And then it goes, yeah, it's really annoying.
But it hasn't gone at all. It's still there. It's just your ability to smell it has gone. Yeah. It's not until somebody else smells comes it, into your space and smells it, that it's there. I had a friend who used to work for the Human Poo Company. Yeah, the ones who put the big pile of stuff
out. Who is a human poo company?
FGS Agri is one of them. There's a plug for them.
Yeah.
And they actually put those big piles of human poo in the fields.
Yeah, oh.
And then they spread it around. But the story was his daughter sort of said...
I didn't know they could use human poo on agriculture.
Most of it is human poo.
Really? Yeah. You've absolutely flabbergasted me because I always thought it was cow poo or...
Think about it. What's the largest supply of poo the planet's now
But surely got? It has to be extremely well treated before.
Why?
Because of all diseases that will be in it, surely.
Well, it certainly sits
Did you know this, Paul, that they use human poo?
Yeah,
absolutely.
But you've put me right off my veg.
Well, it all starts somewhere.
Yeah.
I bet organic farms don't use human poo.
I don't know the answer to that
question. I will find out. I will ask Rutherford.
But no, going back.
Shocking.
Obviously, when you work with this stuff, it permeates everything. Clothing, vehicles, the entire... And his daughter sort of said, you know, Dad, I need a tenner. He said, that's fine, go clean the van.
Hmm.
She came back 5 years later and said, Dad, I don't need a tenner that much.
Yeah.
But,
It's like many years ago, the Romans used human urine for washing their clothes.
Well, you've put me right. Oh, you see, the listener can't see my face.
But if you sting yourself with a jellyfish down at the beach...
You wee on it.
You get somebody else to do it, yeah.
Yeah, Medusa. Medusa is everywhere.
Yeah.
Oh, we've just had a little tweet from Wayne Cunnington. He is, going by my thing, is Real Coffee Man 1.
Right.
He used to be Wayne Cunnington, but he's vaccine damaged. And he was... Twitter took him off because he was talking about his vaccine damage. So they censored him, so he had to start a new one. But he's just said, listening in for a short while courtesy of Tesco's Costa, welcomed back Jules to the Business Bunker. Love your Spanish accent, by the way.
It's Russian.
He doesn't think it's Russian.
I go with Russian.
No.
So anyway, back to what we were talking about. I guess it was mentioning poo, so she had to talk crap for a while.
Wow.
Okay, so over the wall experience, you've got an experience coming up?
I have.
When's that going to happen, Simon?
I have. We've got one coming up, and the reason let's do this plug. We've got a fairly well known TV presenter fella coming along on this experience. It's funny. There's a bloke. I'm assuming that some people who listen to this show might have watched Antiques Roadshow at least once or twice in the last kind of like 5 years.
Hmm.
And by pure opportunism, I bumped into Andy McConnell.
Right.
And basically he said, "Andy, can we have a chat?" And didn't want to be rude, so he said, "Yeah, sure." And he gave us his phone number. "Well, thank you, Andy." So anyway, phoned him up, and it took a few ping-pongs, and went down to see him in his cottage. And the gentleman's lovely. It has to be said, he welcomed us in, as if he'd known us for yonks, made us a cuppa, we sat down, we had a good chat for sort of like 20, 30 minutes, and he said, "Well then, how can I help you?" And again, we had a further chat, and at the end of the chat, I said, "Andy, would you come on one of my walks?" He said, "Yeah." So I'm like,
"Really?
Okay, wasn't prepared for that one." That's cool, brilliant. And we then had some fun and games trying to work out when he was free, because obviously the fella's got a fair amount on.
Yeah.
And he's going to come to our experience at the Hare and Hounds in Northbourne on the 19th of June, which is actually a week Sunday.
Yep.
It's Father's Day, which may or may not be a good thing. But Andy's coming along, and he's going to come along and join us on the walk. And he'll obviously sit down, and we'll have a chat afterwards.
Hmm.
And we thought, okay, if Andy's coming along. Now, Andy does like to do a lot of work for charity. In fact, there's a fair chance if you ask him to do anything and he's free and it's a charitable basis, if he can, he will.
Right.
So we're going to run this walk for, and all profits raised will go to CALM, which is the Campaign Against Living Miserably, who we supported with the launch of the View Over the Wall book back last year. So we're going to support it for that. But we'd love to get that walk completely full, fill it up to justify having Andy come along, make him feel it was worth it. Mm. Apart from the fact that there's no way he's going to be able to come along and not feel it was worth it, because the experience is awesome.
Yep.
And I'm biased. So, we basically come on. I said, "Hey, Paul Andrews, can we come on and talk about a walk?" And Paul said, "Yep." So we're doing that now. But, Andy McConnell of Antiques Roadshow, TV presenter, is coming along on our walk experience based at the Hare and Hounds in Northbourne on Sunday the 19th of June.
Okay. What time does it kick off?
10 o'clock.
10 o'clock.
And if you go on to simonpollard.uk, that's simonpollard.uk, there's no co, simonpollard.uk, you will be able to find the link on there to book it up. And just to make it even more, I'm trying to think of a good word to go before value, better value. There's actually, if you find it on the social media, there's actually a code that you can type in, which I think is Awakening Walks. So that's still lingering. And that will get you £10 off as well.
Fantastic.
So, yeah.
We've put the link to Simon's website for booking the walk on the radio show website, so you can find it there, kempersisradio.co.uk.
Brilliant.
Simon, it's a fantastic thing. It sounds brilliant. I'm going to come on one. You did invite me onto that one, but I can't make it. I am going to come on one.
We should do a whole show from one.
Yeah. Actually, we could.
Roving mics, yeah.
Yeah, we could do that. That would make...
Well, we could bring a forager as well. We could bring Basher, if I could get hold of him, or a local forager.
Well, kind of depends where the walk is, doesn't it, really?
Yeah.
But that's a good idea, actually, to come along with a mic and actually do a recording of for a show from a walk. Yeah, good idea. We'll do that. Brilliant. We'll organise that.
Cool. I like that.
Simon, for a moment, thank you so much. That's Over the Wall Experience, simonpollard.uk, .uk. You can find out all about the Over the Wall Experience. You can also find out about his book, A View Over the Wall, which is also worth a purchase.
I'll have some on that Sunday.
Cool. And this particular activity is in support of CALM. Which is a really, really important charity that helps people that are lonely and living in isolated places.
Since that, and I mean, their main focus is to highlight suicide in young men.
Yeah,
they are, which is on the rise, and it just kind of fitted with everything we're doing, because the mental welfare benefits of these experiences is just huge.
Simon, thank you so much for that. It's a pleasure to hear from you. Brilliant. We've got a few minutes before the news, and we need to catch up without Jules interrupting. So I'm going to go straight on to some things that I've got to read.
Yes, you get it off your chest.
I'm trying to. Martin Rees, Collector's Buddy. I'd love a shout out, please, on the Business Bunker. Where did the week go? Looking forward to a bumper pack show. View IT training, Helen Fuchs. I would love a shout out, Paul and Jules, on the Business Bunker show. More than happy to give you a shout out, Helen. Helen specializes in training workshops and one-to-ones on all kinds of products, but especially Microsoft Office products like Word and Excel and so on and so forth. Michael Parks, Surveyors, are you tuning in to the Business Bunker show? They did ask for a shout out, but I can't see what they said. Paragon Drones, welcome back, Jules Serkin. We'd love a shout out, thanks, and looking forward to the cheesy tunage. Well, I hope you enjoyed it. What's on in Kent? Paul and Jules, could we have a Business Bunker shout out, please? It would be great. We've had loads of downloads to the app since our appearance on the show last week.
Very good.
So that's good news.
Yeah. And they've got an Ibiza one, they said, didn't they?
And they've got an What's on in Ibiza app coming up or available as well.
Tracy Ferguson, Tazy 64 says, love the track, but another good one would have been Mad World, listening to Simon talking about getting away from the madness of our current world.
He is a loon.
Mad World, that would have been good. And if you want to discover Tracy, she is the owner of Plucky's World. You can find her on pluckysworld.com. That's PLUCKYS.
Chips and Dinks, great Business Bunker show so far. Welcome back, Jules Serkin. We missed you.
I missed you too. I did. And we've had End Tunbridge Wells Wine.
Entwine.
Entwine. Yeah. I only saw the wine.
Entwine. It's clever, isn't it?
And they say, listen out for Pam of Lock Associates on the B Bunker radio show, Business Bunker, with Vanilla Webb and Jules Serkin today.
So Pam will be on shortly after 2 o'clock.
Exactly.
Terry Botfield, have a great show. Can I have a shout out for Marsh Breakfast Networking, the new Base Point Folkestone, 7:45 a.m. on the 14th of June for Folkestone, Ashford, and Dover, and the Marsh Breakfast at Dimchurch. It was full to capacity last time, 7:45 a.m. on the 16th of June. You can find out details about both of those events and to book them by going to marshnetwork.co.uk.
And Seven Oaks District Chamber, they have a Wednesday networking meeting on June the 8th. Is that manana?
It is.
June the 8th. The meeting is sponsored by CHS Networks and hosted at the Donington Manor Hotel. And the hotel will be offering pims and canapes to all attendees in the Chartwell restaurant and patio. Good weather ordered and a voucher for a free drink next time you visit the hotel.
Fantastic. I'm just trying to catch up with some of the tweets before we join the newsroom. You read Tracy Ferguson, didn't you?
I did, yes.
Yeah, tuned in live. Yeah.
She's a bit shocked about the poo, the human poo as well, Simon. She's like me, she's a bit
There's a world fertiliser shortage at the moment as well.
Really?
Yeah, that's not a joke.
There's a lettuce shortage in Australia, apparently. They're having to use, in their Kentucky, some cabbage leaves instead.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Right, okay. Yeah,
it was a lettuce shortage because of, I think it was flooding.
Okay.
And Zeenat Nirani, your lovely co-presenter last week, she says, hello to my favourite radio presenter. I think she means you.
Do you think so?
And a big shout out to all the amazing people in my life. We'll catch up later as I'm with ankle biters today. They're really biting. Lunch break is truly deserved.
Okay. Oh, she's obviously teaching again today.
I didn't know if it was Dachshunds or children, but I'm assuming children.
Yeah. Cool. So that's we've still got some tweets to read, but we'll read them in a minute. Just before we join the newsroom, Paul and Jules, just when I thought I couldn't be crazier, on the 3rd of July, I and four other nutters from BNI are jumping out of a plane to raise money for the brilliant Kenwood Trust.
Ooh.
Here's a link to sponsor. We'd be super grateful for a mention on the Business Bunker show. And that's from Linda Cloak and four other nutcases that are going to be parachuting from a plane. And you can support them. And I have supported them already. So I hope you will support them too by going to justgiving.com/campaign/5 to skydive. That's a five to skydive and support Linda and the team, who are raising money for the fabulous Kenwood Trust, which is a charity located in Yalding, just outside Maidstone, and it's a residential home for people with drink and drug addictions.
I bet she won't have a big breakfast on that morning.
I wouldn't.
No, maybe a little bit of yogurt or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't need the adrenaline in my life, to be honest. I have enough scrapes without throwing myself out of a
pool. We had someone doing a fundraiser for Kenwood Trust a few weeks ago that did a wing walk as well.
Oh, yeah.
They tried to get me to do it, but I couldn't find a plane that could take my weight.
You know, it's 2 o'clock, Paul Andrews.
I do. Yeah. So we're going over to the newsroom.
Should we find out what's happening?
Yeah. Here we go.